Welcome, everybody. This is Source from the Sofa. This is the Turkey Day podcast. We're going to be covering college football, NFL, all the Turkey Day games, Black Friday games, if there is any. Actually, more for college football, not so much for NFL. We got one good game for the NFL. And then everything else is as scheduled on Saturday and Sunday. It's action-packed. We also have F1 on Saturday night or Sunday morning, I believe, at 8 o'clock. Pretty manageable. So in case you get too drunk and stuffed from all the turkey and all the wine and beer and shots, I don't know. Depends on what kind of family you grew up in. You have some time to recover for Sunday at the very least. So we're going to get into it. Aaron wanted to get into the college football games first. He has his biggest list in quite a long time.
Last week of the regular season, bro.
Thank God, actually. I'm actually thankful. You know, I'm just like Lewis Hamilton. I'm looking forward to college football being done. I'm looking forward to my fantasy football team being done. I'm sick of this shit. I'm not even looking forward to next year. I don't even invite you. I don't even want to be invited back to this fantasy football league.
I thought Jason pitched your team on buried you, pitched you away like 2 weeks ago in fantasy football. Like, we took you off life support. That's been done for a minute now.
Who did? You guys are tripping, dude.
Your fantasy football team. Once you lost Cam Scataboo-boo, whatever your nickname is for your little love.
I lost Cam, and then I totally forgot that I had that trade out for Swift and Jared Jeudy in place for DK Metcalf. Didn't even, you know, because like I didn't even know it was still out there. Bam! Accepted the trade, and it's kind of sunk my season. I'm a little pissed. I am facing Eli this week, who is in third place, who's won six games in a row, ironically. I am favored in this week. You know, I pulled some waiver wire stuff for a new kicker, new defense, a new running back, a new wide receiver, putting them in lineup. We'll see how it goes. I have hope. If I win the next 2 weeks, I'm in the playoffs, or at least I'm like in a tiebreaker thing. It's still kind of close because 5 through 8 is we're all 5 and 7. But
how many teams are in this league?
Just 10, because he's kicked out two teams already because they didn't like follow like some rules. It's like really weird. I don't even know what happened.
But well, basically, what I heard is that you're signing guys off the practice squad, trying to make a below 500 team sneak into the sixth seed in a 10-man tournament.
You're damn fucking right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was 4 teams. It just got changed 2 weeks ago.
It was 4 teams, dude. And I'm thankful that they made it to 6 because maybe I can sneak in if I win the next 2 weeks.
God.
I'm fucking
pissed.
By
next week, it's going to be 8 teams. And then it's just going to
They should make it 8 teams because honestly, it's all like the same records 1 through 8. Like 9 through 10, like they're bad, dude. That, like he's 2 and 10 or whatever it is. And then the other one's like 3 and 9. Whatever. But
it's an all time terrible fantasy league. I just want to say that.
This one, the worst one I've been in. And I've been in some pretty bad ones. I've won some bad ones, but this is like, I don't like the waiver wire or anything like that. Anyways, regardless, we have lots to uncover here on the Turkey Day pod. We are recording the eve of, this is typically considered Blackout Wednesday. I don't know if you guys ever go home, Aaron. I know you've never done that because you never left Corona. But typically when you come back home, you like to get drunk and reminisce with your high school classmates. And I used to do that once upon a time, but I don't talk to anybody from high school. I don't talk to my family. I don't talk to anybody. So now my Thanksgivings are done in peace. I just had, you know, a burger and a beer earlier in peace, hearing about everyone else having the pressure because 'tis the season of meeting family and cooking dry turkey. Because I don't know, for some reason, a lot of people have trouble cooking turkey, which is like,
you know, I guess you
pretty
only do
easy.
It once a year, so it's not easy to perfect, Rome, I guess.
You got to pump it. You got to pump it up with a little bit of love and a little bit of vino. That's how you do
pump
it.
Pump it and smack it, man. Give it a good spank.
Exactly. I think 2 years ago, I had Thanksgiving with you guys. Yeah. Aaron, you and your parents, those pretty good leftovers there before we went to the Ravens and Chargers game, which Ravens came back from behind to win in like the last 5 minutes, and everyone was like in shock. Really fun game, though. Debating if I'm going to go to my sister's or not. She has 2 little kids, 2 little boys that are like fucking rambunctious. They listen to the pod. I was told to come down on the swearing a little bit because apparently the 2-year-old dropped an F-bomb the other day in perfect form. And he said, Uncle Rome says it. So, I don't know. Uncle Rome might be there juiced up and amped up, depending on how his fantasy football team is looking. But college football, here we go. Week 14, last week of the regular season. We got five games for Friday, for Black Friday, and then another seven?
That's correct.
Seven for Saturday, which is ridiculous. I'm not sure if I'm going to put out like a graphic for this because that's a little too much, but we'll promote it somehow.
Maybe we'll promote it. We'll put out the locks, Rome. I don't know.
We'll put out the locks. I like that. I like that. So how do you want to break it down, Aaron? First, any thoughts on the college football playoff newest rankings?
Well, and we talked a little bit before the show went on the air, Oregon jumping Ole Miss, and then you got Miami jumping over Utah. But then probably it's definitely on Aaron's games to watch, Michigan jumping up three places to 15, which I think we talked about this the other day there. If they beat Ohio State, puts the committee in a very tricky situation for who's going to, you know, go into the playoff here, because you got perennially three Big Ten teams that are locked in with Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon. But you got the fringes out there of, you know, Notre Dame, Miami, all with two losses, but all these SEC schools clinging to one or two losses and stuff like that. What is their resume looking up going to the final week? So Rome's, you know, getting your hands together and everything about Michigan. So I think that's the most interesting thing right now, is where the committee put themselves to make a final decision here going into the last week, because, you know, what are we going to be looking at? 9-2 Alabama not getting in? You know, that's going to be interesting for a decision to be made. Miami, we've been talking about the last couple weeks. You know, they're technically in the playoff right now, but technically won't be in the playoff because they can't win the ACC. So it's kind of like this fake 12 seed that they're in right now, because they're really so
dumb. They should just leave the 11 seed as to be determined.
We're already in year two, dude, and this system's already broken. Like, the BCS probably had like at least two or three good years. This new system, like, oh, we're not gonna have any issues. Well, already broken.
The BCS. I mean, honestly, you could have the BCS pretty much be in play because I was only going in the first and second seed when it was beyond that. So you really have like you'd have the play-in game for the BCS right now, which is always great. You'd have Ohio State, Indiana, Big Ten championship game, Texas A&M, Georgia, SEC championship game. Winners go to the final, and it would have been like that in the BCS era. So you add all this extra stuff in. You know, everyone's clamoring over being in the tournament. We're going 12 teams deep, but it used to be really worried about the top two in the country. Then it was top four in the country. But yeah, I think a lot going in. Aaron's games of the week, I think we'll talk as we go through these. We'll have a lot of implications to this final rankings, because the conference championship games, which I talk about every year, are just terrible because they're just utterly meaningless to a degree. But add even more drama to end, because now we pretty much guarantee these people, you know, Indiana, Ohio State, okay, loser's still in. So what does the game matter? SEC championship game, loser gets in. What does it matter? So a lot of questions.
The only conference championship game that means anything is really the ACC. And I guess kind of like Tulane and, you know, the group of five, kind of whoever gets that highest ranking. So those are really the only ones that matter. Miami's in that 11 right now, but I think we could have some upsets on Saturday, Friday. You know, Ole Miss sitting there. We don't know what's going to happen. Lane Kiffin. We've seen teams throughout.
I'm worried about that one.
When the coach is kind of like, is he going to flip-flop, go somewhere
too
else?
Much.
The teams come out flat.
Too much.
Week. We've seen it plenty of times.
I would. It's not going to happen, Aaron. I'm a fan of Lane Kiffin, so I don't want this to happen. But if they were to lose and they're sitting at 10-2, now you're talking your two-loss SEC school. I want them to apply that. And let's say they lose. Lane Kiffin also said he's leaving. I want them to apply the same logic they did to your Florida State Seminoles, where they took them out because
100%.
Yeah, no, they're out because it's a major change, and we can't have a major change go on. So the team's disrupted, so they're not in. Like, that's what I want the whole decision to be. I want the South to answer to that.
I mean, agree. And we're not even talking about an undefeated team. We're talking about a two-loss team, if that's the case. They lose to Mississippi State, who's really struggled down the stretch here. It's a bad loss for Ole Miss. Their other loss was against Georgia. So I agree. I think if Lane Kiffin leaves, Ole Miss loses, they're out. Alabama obviously has to win against Auburn to stay in. You can't lose against Auburn in the Iron Bowl. I think the team we talked about, Jason mentioned earlier, Michigan. I think Michigan wins. I think they're in. I mean, Ohio State's been clearly the best team, them and Indiana throughout. No one's even come close to touching Ohio State. If Michigan can beat them, which I already said I'm taking them plus 10 in the Westgate contest for us this week, I think it's going to be a tough game. It looks like it's going to be freezing cold. I don't know if it's going to be snowing. I haven't really looked, but I know it's going to be cold. That's interesting. Another game to keep it on because I think it's going to be a lot of shakeups. We'll get into it too. Oregon at Washington. Dan Lanning has never been able to beat Washington in big, meaningful games. Is Oregon on the fringe as well? So we'll see. We'll find out.
Isn't it weird that Oregon's on the fringe? You would feel like they should be already in the CFP, like very locked in, but yet there's a lot of questions about them just because they lost one big game.
They lost the one big game, but I mean, their wins of note was against a Penn State team at the time that's no longer relevant.
But what about Notre Dame? What big games have they had?
Well, they beat USC just like Oregon did. So, I mean, it's going to be, you know,
A lot of light schedules this year in the college football playoff.
Yeah, there similarly is. But I mean, I think that's the question. You're asking the questions. I'm not defending Notre Dame in this, but that's the question. Is their biggest win at the time was against a Penn State team that fell apart. That killed their resume. And so ranked Iowa, who they barely beat 18-16, and then the big win against USC this last week kind of cemented it for them. But I think that's probably the questions in the resume where if you look at, you know, Bama, the bad loss of a Florida State looks really bad at the start of the year, but then they had that gauntlet of games in a row that they won. And that's, you know, I think that's what enhances their resume. But I think Aaron's right. A loss here, a two-loss team is going to put you on the fringe. And it's anyone's ball game there.
That's considering if Michigan wins. I mean, if Michigan wins, they really shake it up. They're the only team right now. I mean, it would be hard-pressed to keep Michigan out if they beat Ohio State just because how dominant Ohio State beat. And Michigan only has two losses against Oklahoma and USC. Both were great, but they were both on the road. So Michigan, to me, doesn't feel like a playoff team. But, again, Ohio State has been the clear number one really since week one after they beat Texas. There hasn't really been a discussion who would be the number two team. Indiana's kind of moved up there. I think those two teams are safe. Everybody else kind of on the fringe. I mean, Texas didn't have to win a Big 12 title game.
Well, let's face it. Like this year, there's gonna be a lot of criticism because you're gonna have teams that don't make the playoff that had more bigger wins than teams that are in the playoff. And isn't it about teams with big wins?
But Rome, to your point, we talked about Notre Dame. I'm sure Jason will agree with this. You can't have bigger wins, but worse losses. They basically cancel each other out. To me, worse losses are more valuable to me than say bigger wins. You can't lose
throughout week one. You really can't count week one. For me, that's like a no-go.
Notre Dame's got two losses by a grand total of 4 points. And
that's true.
A&M, who may go undefeated throughout the SEC and go, 13-0 into the playoff. That could be the number one overall seed. If not number two, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the loss to Miami, and we talk over Miami. Like, I'm not saying Miami's a bad team, but they have, you know, they have two losses, you know, maybe one of them, like the SMU loss is okay, but the loss to Louisville, 7-4, 4-4 in the ACC right now. Like
They're a good team, though.
Okay, you say that, but, you know, they're in the lower end of the ACC right now at 7-4. I'll tell you, Aaron, the thing about the ACC that's even funnier, too, and I think we talked about this a little bit. So Virginia, probably going to play in the ACC title game. They only have one conference loss. Even though they did lose to NC State in their conference, but it's not counted as a conference game because they just scheduled it because they needed a game, but it's not a conference game.
Really? Correct. Yes. That was opener. I think it was the opener or week two game for both teams.
Week two. So they technically have lost against two ACC teams and have just as many ACC losses as Miami, but it's not an ACC sanctioned game, so it doesn't count. Because it wasn't part of the ACC schedule. They just had openings and decided to schedule each other anyways.
Why? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like,
I don't know. I mean,
college football is so fucked, dude. They got to fix a lot of things up right now.
The problem with college football is all these schedules are set up in advance, but now all these conferences are adding a ninth game.
They're shit, dude.
So you have to, if say they had somebody that had to schedule a ninth game, they had to get scheduled out. So they just basically skip. You got Washington State and Oregon State playing each other again this year to finish the year for the second time, because they basically belong in no conference till next year once they get back into the Pac-12.
I think it's going to be like the Pac-8, right? They can't call it the Pac-12. There's only 8 teams in there.
I think it's still the Pac-12, though. Just like the Big Ten's got 18 teams.
Because the Pac-12 used to be the Pac-10 when it had 10 teams.
Yeah. I think they were the Pac-8 before that.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they would keep the name. All right.
Six pack.
Nice. Big tangent, but good stuff that we covered up here for college football. Let's get into the game zone unless there's anything urgent that we got to talk about. I think we kind of covered everything up in the recap. By the way, our recap for last week for college football, we were all over the place, dude. Aaron was so perturbed with the Panthers, Carolina Panthers for Monday Night Football, and as well as Norvell getting an extension for one more year. Like, it was hilarious re-listening to the pod, putting it out there. The video's out there on YouTube. The full pod with the NFL and college football is out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It is funny. If you want to see Aaron go on it was basically like a 35-minute rant between an hour and 25 minutes. It is on there. It is quite hilarious. So we covered a lot of stuff there. No games. We did not talk about any games last week.
On the college football recap?
Yeah, it was just a lot of rants, dude.
Well, it was a winning week for us. I think we basically brought that up. So let's see if we can get another on a winning week.
Hilarious stuff. So go check that out, guys. It is funny stuff. Aaron was on one. He seems like he's in better spirits.
Better spirits, man. Had time to cool off.
It's the best lighting we've had out of all the podcasts.
I felt like Jennings did after Carolina taking that low blow. That's just how I felt on Monday. But hey, I've regrouped. The old cup check. I'm ready to go, man. I got it in.
All right. Week 14, college football games of the week, hand-picked, hand-selected by our own Aaron Toler. Let's kick off with the Friday games with Mississippi and Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big game. I mean, we were just talking about here on the recap, Jason brought up, hey, what happens if Mississippi loses? Lane Kiffin leaves the next day. Is Mississippi still in the playoff? This is a big game. Morning start against Mississippi State, rivalry game. Even when Mississippi's been really big favorites against these guys, even when Mississippi State was down, these games always seem to be pretty close. This is in Starkville. Mm-hmm. A lot of the questions surrounding what Lane Kiffin's going to do. We've seen a number of coaches come in this year, have the same kind of where they're going to end up. Are they going to stay? Are they going to go? And their teams have come out flat.
Flat.
You know, flat.
If Lane Kiffin's teams are notorious for this.
Look, if I'm Lane Kiffin, I'm going to the team and I'm saying, look, guys, if you win, I stay. If you lose, I'm out. What do you want? Are you going to show up and get it done or not?
That's worse.
That's what I would say. Hey, if they lose, they gave up on you. You give up on the university. But it's going to be a close game, Rome. I'm going to take Mississippi State here plus seven in this one.
I agree with you on this one. I think Mississippi is going to come out flat. Lane Kiffin has had a history of this. If you guys don't remember, like every year, like every school, he comes out hot. He has like some disappointing games. They have not had a letdown game per se so far this year.
Well, they did against Washington State. They did against Washington State like a month ago.
It was, but they usually have like a couple more. They've inked out a few more wins than usual. It's a good team. I like them. I like their chances if Lane Kiffin's there and they get into the playoff. It's all about matchups, but
do you guys think Lane Kiffin's staying or leaving?
I think he's out now. I don't like it though. I heard Joe Klatt talk about it on someone's sports podcast earlier today, and this is all Lane Kiffin, man. Everybody else, all the big coaches, they've either like just shut it down and signed extensions, or just say like, you know what, I'm still on contract. I'm not answering those questions. But he's just playing like nonchalant. This bullshit stuff. And yeah, the college rules are messed up, but it's a little too much chatter, man. And there's rumors now that the players, there's other assistant coaches, the administration, LSU's fed up, even like backup coaches that LSU wants to hire. They're about to sign extensions. This guy is holding the linchpin for like 10 other universities right now. And it's a down year maybe in college coaching. I really don't know, but it's not good. It's not good, and this is not helping his legacy out any better either.
I don't think he cares about that at all. And for the Frank,
I really don't think. Yeah, you're right.
I don't think he cares. And for the fact of the matter, this is just because of the terrible way that, you know, we do coaching searches, because these guys fire their coaches in October and then they're trying to get a jump on next year's recruiting cycle where it's at. So that's why we got to get this coach in place right now. But hey, they're actively with the team right now with players, guys that are trying to win this current season, not worried about the future. And so, I mean, there's some consideration you have to do, even if you're Lane and you're looking at a job that's bigger. Like, there's a commitment you've made to your team right now and you're still trying to win. There's an opportunity potentially to win a national championship game. So I think you got it. He's towing quite a line here between, you know, I'm trying to win right now, because this is a team that potentially, it's not the most favored, but potentially could win a national championship. So I'm not blowing that up where I got a shot right now versus thinking about the go ahead. Like, to be honest with you, I said in the last pod, like, LSU is a great college football job, but like, to be the end all be all that I'm going to leave everything for, I don't know if it's that job. You know, every 5 and 6 years, yes, they get a great recruiting class and they have the greatest college football team of all time. But, you know, college football has changed, and, you know, you can get some money and be Vanderbilt and be competitive in the SEC. You can get, you know, where was the Big Ten like 5, 6 years ago? It was Ohio State and nobody's. And now you got, you know, Illinois is competitive and Indiana out of nowhere is competitive. Yeah. And so, like, there's different ways that these teams. So I don't know what he's weighing, but I mean, I would have thought he was going to go to Florida, to be honest with you. The LSU stuff is a little questionable to me. He just seems like a Florida guy. You know, he was out at Florida Atlantic or whatever, yeah, hanging out in Boca before. I figure maybe Gainesville would have been more something for Lane. But
I think LSU is the closest thing, though, like, prestige wise to Alabama. Although, like, they haven't won as much as I think they have, as like a lot of people think they have, for having that type of like upper class, whatever, clout. Well, that other teams have.
LSU is the program, the university, the everything of football there in the state of, you know, Louisiana. It's bigger than the Saints. It's the biggest show in town. Like, Florida's big, but, you know, you've got other major sports towns there. You got Tampa, you got, you know, yeah, Miami, you got all that, the Heat. Like, Louisiana, LSU football is the shit. I mean, the Saints, that's all great, but it is LSU. I agree with Jason. I think he's better. More feels like more of a Florida guy. But I don't know. I mean, I think Lane Kiffin may honestly not know what he's going to do yet quite. I think he's kind of just like flip-flopping. Hey, do I stay? Do I go? What does my family want to do? We'll see. I think Florida would probably be a better fit for him, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next game, because we have a lot to cover. Iowa and Nebraska.
Yeah, Iowa, Nebraska, Rome. Get your Cornhuskers in here to end the season after that disappointing game against Penn State last week. I'm going to ride your team, Rome, at home. It's going to be another sellout, probably sellout number 2,000 in a row, whatever it is there. They're going to let the balloons go out early. Give me Nebraska +6. I know Matt Rhule says he wasn't disappointed that he turned down Penn State and they got blown out there, but he should be. So give me Nebraska here +6.
What do you think about that, Jason?
I don't know about your guy Matt Rhule, man. He's another king of getting the bag. Has he done anything yet? I don't know.
He won a Baylor.
He's won like
a bowl game for the first time in 10 years.
Okay, he looked good for two seasons. Like, now they just put up like this shit season. I really don't know. Arizona State. This is rivalry week.
Rivalry week, flag plant week, whatever you want to call it. We know this got ugly last year when Arizona State went into Tucson and won. Oh, yeah. I think Arizona returns the favor. They're healthier. They're a better football team. I think 1.5 is a bargain. I like Arizona Wildcats. Jason's go-to here, only went here in the last 4 weeks in college football. I think he's back on them again this week. I like him over Arizona State.
I do like the Wildcats, man. They got me back in the win column there. Yeah, Aaron knows. Aaron knows when I got a feel for a team.
Yeah. I like them a lot this week. Black Friday, they get it done.
So Arizona, 1.5-point favorites over Arizona State.
Yeah.
Couple of ranked teams, lots on the line. Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech has fallen off the cliff, so to speak, into the last few weeks with some tough losses. They definitely did not show up last week. They're facing a Georgia team that's resilient, that's come up with some, let's just say it, bullshit victories. but they are still pretty good. They've shut down some other really good teams themselves and being, you know, the opponents being top 10 teams, but number 4 ranked Georgia against number 23 Georgia Tech. What's going to happen here?
Yeah, Rome. I mean, Georgia Tech, you mentioned it, the losers of 2 of their last 3 games have not looked good here the last month. I saw a thing this game. Usually they play a home and home, right? You know, Georgia Tech, Georgia hosted last year. Georgia Tech usually hosts this year. But Georgia Tech sold the home rights for $10 million. They took a $10 million buyout to play this game at the Mercedes-Benz Dome down there in downtown Atlanta. Last year, this was probably the best game in college football. 8 overtime classic thriller. Georgia needed that win just to keep their playoff hopes really alive. Ended up beating Texas in the SEC title game and getting to the quarterfinal it was before they lost to Jason's Notre Dame team. But yeah, I mean, Georgia Tech, like you mentioned, Rome, they're a mess right now. 14 points seems like a lot, but the defense for Georgia Tech is terrible. Georgia seems to be really hitting their stride. They looked really good against Texas. They looked really good last week against the Charlotte team that they're a 45-point favorite against. I'm going Georgia minus 14 here.
Wow.
And what will essentially be a home game, since it's going to be about 60-70% of the home crowd is going to be for there for the Bulldogs.
That's crazy. 14 points a lot. Jason, what do you think?
I agree with Aaron. If this was a couple of weeks ago, you'd feel like Georgia Tech was really on the slide and make something out of this game, but I just don't think they're the same team they were at the beginning of the season, and Aaron's right. Georgia has found their slide. I give them a lot more credit than you have, Rome. I think this is a team that's going to compete for the national championship, and they're going to need to make a statement win.
I will personally jerk off 20 homeless guys if Georgia wins the fucking championship. Like, that's fucking crazy shit.
The producer needs to clip that, and then we'll get to that.
No fucking chance. All right, next game we have Texas A&M and Texas.
Yeah, I mean, Rome, Georgia's only lost that one game to Bama. That was a close game, but yeah, Texas A&M, Texas here. We all know, I don't know if Rome, if you're back on Texas bandwagon, if you're off. I know you tried to jump on mine and Jason's Texas A&M bandwagon at one time. We didn't need a third wheel, so we don't want you on.
You guys were full of shit last year. You guys were way a year early on them. Get out of here. Anyways, go ahead.
Mike Elko, like everybody talks about, his big head. His head's the size of all 3 of ours combined. I think A&M gets revenge here. They don't really need to win this game, but it's a big game. Texas was dodging them for a long time. They won that game last year at Kyle Field. This game means a lot to Texas A&M. I think they show up, get it done, beat Texas. I'll take A&M minus 2.5.
All right. Saturday games.
This is a good Saturday game. Vanderbilt, Tennessee, battle of in the state there. This can be a good game, Rome.
You know what? I totally forgot where Vanderbilt was. They're in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, right there in Nashville.
Didn't even know that. All right.
A lot of people in the SEC didn't know that for about 30 years, Rome, so don't feel bad about it.
All right, so Vanderbilt, it just sounds weird that Vanderbilt would have like a – or Tennessee would have like a prestigious university in Nashville. I don't know. Never mind. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be – this might be one of the better games of the season and on Saturday. I mean, Vanderbilt's playing really well. They just came out and blew out Kentucky. Tennessee, that huge win at Florida. I like Tennessee here at home. I think the crowd, 100,000 plus. Vanderbilt has played well against good competition, but just has not won that huge road game, right? They lost at Alabama. They lost another game there at Texas. Tennessee, that crowd, I think, is just going to be the difference that carries Tennessee on senior night. I like the Vols here, minus 3, Tennessee to beat Vanderbilt.
I'm not sure if I like that as much. I think Benny has a big win.
You got 3 picks this week, Rome. You can throw Vanderbilt in there if you want.
Not for 3 points. That's a pick'em in college football. Anything below 5. Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah, Clemson. I mean, Jason, he might be eyeing this game again, too. I don't know. I mean, Clemson has he's not picked Clemson every week, but he's been a pretty good reader on Clemson. South Carolina looked good last week against, would they beat Coastal Carolina? I don't know. They beat somebody bad last week, but they did fire their OC, maybe some jump charge there. South Carolina won this game last year, 17-10. Clemson did not need to win that game because it was not an ACC game. They still got into that conference title game and won it. I'm going to go with South Carolina here, -2.5. I just don't trust Dabo and the boys there. I know they got that big win against Louisville, but I'm going to go South Carolina. I think South Carolina rivalry game, they need a home win to close out the year. They'll get it done. I would tell people, I don't know if I would take the points. Take South Carolina money line. I think money line is a safer play here, but we'll go 2.5 on the show.
Yeah, they've had a tough season, but they're still a tough out, man. They definitely shut in a lot more games than Clemson has. That's a tough one. Jason, what do you think?
We'll see what Jason thinks, because Jason is – he's been on Clemson. He's got a good read on him this year.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the stuff with Dabo is just so interesting. Has he been interviewing for other jobs, allegedly? Has that been out there?
I think Dabo, like, goes, locks himself in a room and does, like, secret Zoom meetings for jobs and then just basically disconnects, and if he gets a job, he gets a job.
Okay, because, yeah, just, like, all of a sudden, like, just weird feelers about him. Like, oh, they fired me, they're fired me. No one's going to do better than me. This program is nothing before me. There'll be nothing after me. I mean, that's the vibe you throw out with Dabo. I mean, yeah, it's tough. They were competitive against the Duke team. It's always challenging. They were pretty tough, competitive against SMU, the last two, the last loss that they had before Duke. They beat a bad Florida State team. They beat, I guess, Rome thinks it's a good Louisville team. Played Furman or whatever. It's a close game. I don't love it either way. I still think there's talent at Clemson is the one thing to go through. It's just neither team's a government. Like, I wouldn't be surprised either way in this. I guess if you're giving me points and it's the close of a game, I would take Clemson.
Well, all right. Never mind. All right. Ohio State. By the way, I just took a bite of a burger.
Yeah, we saw Rome. I mean,
whatever.
I'm sure the audience will see it on Friday.
Yeah. I had a regular burger earlier, but a friend's like, oh, like the restaurant messed up and, you know, we have an extra burger. You want to take it home? I'm like, oh, sure, I'll take it home. It's an Impossible burger. He's like, I've never had one. He's like, it tastes like meat. You're not going to notice. I fucking notice.
Yeah, we could tell, Rome.
Not a big fan. I don't know. Definitely not like a burger you want cold. I don't know how it tastes warm, but that definitely does not feel like meat.
I don't think you want any burger really cold, Rome. Got to be... I mean, obviously,
dude, I could crush McDonald's.
You're a temperature guy, Rome. Already know.
Cheeseburgers from McDonald's, I can crush them hot or cold. No problem. All right. Ohio State, Michigan. Game of the week.
Maybe game of the year. It's the game of the year for Michigan. No doubt about it. This is the game they always get up for.
It's game of the year for Ohio State. No one cares in Michigan. Ohio State cares more than anybody else. Remember, they were willing to fire their coach last year for losing this game. Source from the Sofa might have been active on the YouTube channel today, making fun of everyone who called for Ryan Day's dismissal last year. So apologies if we get any backlash, but maybe we might get some followers. I don't know.
Yeah, Rome. I mean, I backed Ohio State a lot last year. I don't know when the national title, but I got that part right for them. But I'm taking Michigan here, Rome. Four straight years they've won. 10 points is a lot in a game, the rivalry game that's going to be cold. It's going to be a run. Who's going to run? Who can play physicality football? Ohio State they have not really been tested. They just have not been tested this year. Michigan, you know, is probably going to test them. I mean, if Ohio State blows them out, they blow them out. But I just think it's a psychological thing. Ryan Day, if he loses this game again, they'll be calling for his head, wanting his job. They don't care what he's done in the other 11 games. You know, there's people out there, a small fan base that would rather beat Michigan and lose a national title than lose to Michigan and win a national title.
100%. 100%. They were still not happy that they won the national title last year. That's how crazy they are.
And, you know,
fucking nut jobs.
Like Lovie Smith once said when he took over the Bears, I mean, they'd be happy if Ryan Day went 1-11, but as long as he beat Michigan and stuck it to him, there'd be fans that are happy there. I'm going to take Michigan to win. I'm going to take Michigan +10 as well. Ohio State's got to show me psychologically they can get over whatever's blocking them from beating these guys. 2,000 plus days since they last beat them.
I love your pick, Aaron. I'm not feeling as confident. So, Jason.
Yeah, I like Aaron's pick as far as the plus 10 with Michigan, but I don't like them to win. I think there's something to prove here with Ohio State and finish out this undefeated regular season for them. So I think they win this game, but it will be close. To Aaron's point, yeah, haven't been tested. Their biggest game was supposed to be that Penn State game, which turned out not to be. So if you looked at like ranked opponents they beat so far, was, you know, start of the year at Texas. Texas now a three-loss team. Illinois, you know, halfway through the season, who's now fallen off the face of the earth too. So like that, you know, you talk about Notre Dame's resume, Ohio State's resume is not much to look at too when you look at it too. So like none of these teams have the wins everybody's looking for. This is a big game for Ohio State to win to kind of prove it. They're going to be in the playoffs regardless, but I think it'll be close. Aaron mentioned the weather. I think that'll be a big determining factor, but Ohio State's still going to win.
Like the teams that have the big wins, they'll have two losses. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Look at Jason. Jason does not want Michigan to win this game. I rather not. That's
true.
That's true. Rather win or not, he does not want Michigan to win this game. That's one of the worst scenarios with Notre Dame. Hey, maybe we get that rivalry going. Michigan Notre Dame used to be a classic matchup all the time back in the early 2000s and whatnot. Going to be a close game. I love Michigan plus 10. Like I said, that's who I'm taking in the Westgate. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it could be an intriguing game. How's that impossible burger, Rome? Impossible to eat?
That's a little rough, dude. I think that might be it. Miami, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, Miami, for everything they've been talking, we saw what Notre Dame did against Pittsburgh. If Miami can't cover 7, then they got no business even declaring themselves in the playoffs. I'm going to take Miami minus 7. Like I said, they got to win like 60-0. Pittsburgh's not very good. Miami should be able to beat these guys by at least 15 or more points. So give me Miami minus 7.
By 6, no fucking chance, dude, that happens. I think Notre Dame was just a perfect matchup for them. All right. Anyways, Miami minus 7. We got it. LSU, Oklahoma.
Yeah, this is one of the games to watch because Oklahoma needs to win to get in the playoff. You know, this is one of those games. Oklahoma wins, they're in. Right? They got a great resume. LSU's not a very good team. LSU just barely beat, was it Western Kentucky they played last week? 24-21, 24-22, whatever that score was. I like Oklahoma to crush LSU. They're going to beat the drum off them. I mean, maybe the best news from LSU over the weekend will be that Lane Kiffin accepts the head coaching job there. That's what everybody's hoping for. They would take 100-0 loss to have him take this job is what I've heard. I'm going Oklahoma big. The over-under is only 36 because they don't think LSU can score. I don't think they can either. I'll say Oklahoma wins 30-10.
If Kiffin goes to LSU, I don't think he makes it past 4 years. I think it's the over-under.
That's going to be about a $60 million buyout. What are they going to pay him, $13, $15 million a year?
14, allegedly. Alabama, Auburn.
Another team that needs to win, Rome. That's why they're in here, Alabama. Alabama cannot afford to lose as well. They've already got two losses. Auburn's not good at all. They're going to play a young quarterback who still has redshirt eligibility. Bama goes into the Iron Bowl and just rolls them. I'm going Roll Tide. Bama wins big here. I'll take Bama minus 6.
Nice. Oregon, Washington for the final game of the week.
This is going to be a great game. Every time Washington and Oregon have matched up, it's always been great, especially when it's at Husky Stadium. I'm taking Washington plus 6.5 here. If Oregon wins, it's going to be by the skin of their teeth. Close game. Washington's only lost one home game all year. That was against Ohio State. Give me the Huskies here, plus 6.5.
Ballsy. Ballsy for sure. You have any bonus games, or is this basically it? You have your locks. What is it?
No bonus games this week, Rome. This is it. This is the games.
Locks.
We're going to ride with Jason's Arizona Wildcats, minus 1.5. Loving that.
All right.
Got to go with Michigan plus 10.
A lock.
Lock okay. And loaded, man. All right. And give me the Huskies. Washington plus 6.5.
These are your locks.
These are my locks.
Fuck me.
If you want a bonus lock, Oklahoma minus 10.
How you liking those locks, Jason?
I like them. Aaron didn't have Notre Dame at Stanford at 7:30 at night, though, on the games to watch, though. But I'll be watching that one.
Be careful, man. Stanford's not that bad. Say it, Aaron. Say it. Stanford's a bad team. They have no chance of scoring. Do it. do it because, you know, when you say that, Stamper shows up. It's like they're listening to this podcast.
Look it.
If you can help my Michigan team out.
Andrew Luck, if you guys win that game, I'll take a pie to the face. I'll do it to myself. No way Stamper's winning that game. No way.
I'll give you a pie to the face, dude. I'll fucking. All right, you heard it here.
I'm good for that. Thank you for doing an acceptable punishment for an outrageous take on like whatever the hell Rome said earlier.
I don't know what Rome's going to do. I mean, maybe Rome's got that. They might already be lined up outside Rome's door right now, waiting for
you. You deserve two pie in the face already for like the two games you already called. If they lose this game, it's impossible. They can't lose it.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame, no way. No way they lose. I mean, unless, like I said,
no way
Michigan wins.
You heard it here.
And Miami wins like 60-0 and like Notre Dame gets like some kind of buzz before like, hey, you guys are out of the playoffs no matter what you do. That's it. That's the only chance. Stanford's god awful. Like I said, Rome. If it wasn't in my contract, I'd take a month off if that was the case. But this show can't afford for me to take a month off right now.
You're absolutely right. All right. That's Aaron's College Games of the Week. We have a full slate for Friday and Saturday. This is going to be very little edited, no titles. Basically, I'm just going to cut the fluff or whatever it is and then put it up. So hopefully Aaron can find the games, but we'll list them on there nonetheless. For Turkey Day, because it's important that everyone gets it out and place their bets for Turkey Day. We actually have a few days to prep this up, actually, so I might be able to put it out a little bit later. But all right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, NFL games to bet on and to watch right after this.